It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to see so many new faces as well. And really trusting everybody's doing well. And amen, look after yourselves in this winter season, eh? We know of some of the folk that have really been very, very ill. And just don't mess with it. If you're not feeling lekker, go and see a doctor. Okay. So with that, this morning, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be titling my talk, Follow the Thread. I'm coming back to a preach that I did a little while ago, and it is going to be a two-part series. So what I'm going to touch on some stuff that I preached a little while ago, but I want to continue with that. So I'm going to read out of Matthew 5, verses 1 to 6. And so many of you will remember a part of the sermon. And at the end of this message, I believe we're going to go back into a time of worship, really trusting God to do something with us as a people. And I'm hoping that you genuinely will have an encounter, because the thread that is coming from the prophetic, even this morning, is just the need for Jesus, starting from a child all the way through to us as the adult, but being mindful that we're all part of the body. So when God sees us, He sees us all as part of the body. So starting off, it says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And it's very interesting, because even that song that we ended off with now, Let a fire come and fill my heart, burn in my heart. We're trusting God to come and fill us and burn within us. So Neelis and them didn't know the message that I was bringing this morning. So God has just been confirming a lot of stuff through the prayer meeting, through the songs, through the prophetic words and that. So I'm really trusting that you will be encouraged here this morning. I'm putting my timer on. And so with that, I think what's important when we look at this text is that Jesus, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, was sitting on a hillside. He was in Capernaum, and he was actually, he had been preaching the gospel. He had been preaching a preach of repentance, the need for people to turn from their ways. And in that, people were also experiencing healing, and God was doing an amazing thing through Jesus at that given time. But the interesting thing was that as Jesus started this preach, we know that there's the Sermon on the Mount. So if you go and read Matthew 5, right through to chapter 7, it would have been a message which one would feel might have taken place over a few days. But there's a specific part of the message where he starts out, where he speaks of us being a people that are blessed. But before we go into that whole thing of being a people that are blessed, what Jesus was starting out with in the Sermon of the Mount, he was dealing with some serious things that would really challenge the heart of man. And one of those things would be that he would say that authority, position, and money are not important in his kingdom. You know, for us, we place value on those things. We have very much a westernized culture that is saying that this is how you build your life. Jesus comes in and he changes the way that the people were thinking and seeing things. And so what he was really saying was that it's actually more important that you have a faithful and an obedient heart towards the things of God. The other thing that he was dealing with at that given time, there was what they call the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are guys that are quite legalistic. And I really hope and pray as a church, we would never be a people that would become legalistic. You know, like what I mean by legalism, well, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to get the blessing of God. That is not what the Bible teaches. You know, we're in a relationship with the Lord. And for many of us, a relationship means that I would love to read God's word because it's his love letter to us. A relationship with the Lord is, I want to pray. Pray is communication. Say communication. It's communicating with God and telling him how much we love him and actually saying, Lord, thank you for your love towards us. We do this because we realize how kind and merciful God is. And so we don't do it because of legalism. We do it because he first loved us and because of what he's done in us. And then with that, the interesting thing was that Jesus had a group of guys that he had handpicked, and was walking a journey with him, and he invested time in their lives, and he started to build with them, because he said to them, they were ordinary people. He said, come and hang with me and you'll do extraordinary things. And what he did was he pulled them in, and then as he was sitting there, what happened was, because the crowds were following him, they also were inquisitive, and they actually pulled in to check out what's going on here, like some people are doing here. And so what happens is, as they gather, Jesus starts to preach, and the most powerful thing that you can do is invite someone to a meeting. And I'll tell you why. Because in these meetings, what happened was, it was very possible that God would move in such a way that he would open the heart of those that were following for them to receive Jesus. You and I cannot save anyone. But if the Holy Spirit unlocks something in people's lives, they will respond to Jesus, and I'm going to say the rest is history. And so we as a people, I want to encourage you, there is power in an invitation. Surely many of us should know 3 or 4 or 5 people and some more that don't know Jesus, or maybe people that have fallen away from the church. And you know what? You'll see now, as I share a little later on, the importance of us bringing people in and inviting them. Don't assume people won't come because we're having a Sunday meeting and people clap and raise their hands and do all kinds of strange things and people come and talk and kids are sharing. And don't make decisions on behalf of people. Invite. Let God do the rest. And this is what happened in that time. And that's why the Bible teaches that many people came to follow Jesus. And they need to hear the gospel, the good news. And so we also know that Jesus was preaching a gospel of repentance for people to realize that actually at some point you were running a road that was going totally in the opposite direction of God's desire for your life. And when God clashes in and he breaks into your life, suddenly you get a realization how far you are from God, how separated you are from God. And there's only one way you can come back to him, and that is by faith in Jesus. Recognizing your sinfulness, your brokenness, and we turn back to him. And we then start to live our lives in a way that will show that we are genuinely, genuinely captivated by what he did for us. And the changes that happen within us is actually what outworks itself from that day onwards. And so I think this becomes very, very important for us, that not only does the gospel save you, you know, many of us stay in the starting blocks. Many of us are still in your sprint starting position because you got saved, but you've never counted for God after that. You've got to get out of the starting blocks. And one of the key things that we need to know about the gospel, that the gospel is not only powerful to save you, but the gospel is powerful enough to change you. Don't say to me, oh, that's my personality. No, no. The gospel is about people. We can't withdraw from people. I'm really putting it risky out there and saying we can't withdraw from people. You actually need to be with people. Because how will people get to know you about Jesus if we don't live our lives amongst them and talk about him and those things that are important? But the powerful thing is the gospel changes you and I. And I've seen it here. When I look at some of you and I see what God has done, we're coming up to nearly 3 years in September where we've transitioned, and I see what God has done. You two young ladies, you recently made a commitment to the Lord. I think God's going to use you powerfully if you open your lives to him. God is going to move significantly through your lives, in your community, your area of influence, that young people that are chasing the world and thinking that what we see from America is the life that we should be living, and some of the role models that are out there are absolute rubbish. We actually need to get back to the basics of what Scripture teaches. Thank you, Ian, for that word, because I believe God was speaking. Get back to the basics of Scripture and let the gospel change you. You know, I got a man. Where's Andre? That man over there. If I've watched Andre, who has grown over the last 2 and a bit years in the way that he's grown as an elder, as he's grown even in his preaching, and we speak often about this. It's very difficult for a man who speaks Afrikaans most of his life. He's now got to come into this context, and we generally use English as the chosen language, and we'll mix a bit of Afrikaans occasionally. But I can't live in a space of preaching Afrikaans, and I'll tell you why. Because I've got folk from Zimbabwe here and other parts of the continent. And so we need to be able to engage them. The minute we just leave it in a language that nobody can understand, we've lost them. And so that's the beauty of the gospel. It also transcends all of our prejudices and we realize that we actually have a kingdom culture that we're building and something that we can all understand and help each other move forward in the things of God. I hope that makes sense. The gospel has the power to change you. All right. So with that, I want to go into this, follow the thread. The first thing is, you'll see in verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so I'm going to just, as a reminder from the last time, as we look at this, Jesus was wanting us to understand as a people how broken and depraved we actually are. Think about it. The people were following him, even his disciples that had received him and walked with him. At some point, they sat down and he just said, do you realize how broken and messed up you really were? And how much you actually need me? This is what he was referring to. In fact, what Jesus was doing, and that scripture hasn't been given at the back, in Isaiah 57:15, this was the anticipation of what the prophet Isaiah spoke of. He said, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite, meaning remorseful, and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lonely and to revive the heart of the contrite. This was the foreshadow of what was to come, that Jesus would dwell amongst us to come and save us because we could never save ourselves. We were not able to come to him. Him being God, he came to us to dwell amongst us so that in our brokenness, those that would put their faith in Jesus could be saved and could be healed. So it's interesting that Jesus says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. And I know you, Durbanville Central, you guys, I can see it in your faces. You're going, what does that mean? It's a good question. So blessed, very basically, is this. It's the word beatitude comes from the Latin word beatitudo, meaning blessedness. Blessed is more than mere happiness. It implies the fortunate or enviable state of those who are in God's kingdom. In other words, this is a deep inward conviction of what's happening in yourself, where you realize just the joy of knowing Jesus. And that because of you're knowing Jesus, that you're in God's kingdom and that you're in a good place, you're in the right place with God. It's an inner thing. You know, happiness is very fleeting. We can be happy. I mean, who watched the rugby yesterday and saw the Blue Bulls beat the Sharks? I did. Okay, am I Christians? I'm the only one that watched the rugby then. Okay, it's there we go. Thanks, Andre. And we have another hand. Can I see any more hands that watch the Blue Bulls? There we go. And some of us, yeah, they did it. But guess what? This morning, it's gone. My wife did an 87-kilometer ride yesterday on her bicycle. It was herself and a friend who entered in this race. The friend actually was really pushing on. She's actually from Durbanville or Pinehurst AM. And so I became the shepherd. Come, my scorpies, come, my little sheep. And they were just riding along. It was a tough ride. But when they crossed that finish line, I remember Henri just saying to us, I feel like I want to cry when I get over the finish line. That's tough. There's a fleeting moment of happiness. It's past. It's gone. And on your legs. So the point is this. When you're a Christ follower, no matter what you're facing, the joy of Jesus being in your heart, no matter what your circumstances are, is lasting. Happiness is fleeting. The joy of being in the right place with God is lasting. So with that, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Another good question, Durbanville Central. The world itself lives in a space of the Holy Trinity of me, myself, and I. We live for ourselves. And Jesus is dealing with the world. That's why the crowds were there. And so he says to them, do you realize how far you are from God? You've lived for the world. That's why I've come. That's why you need me. And so Jesus starts to break into a people's mindset where they're living for themselves, providing for themselves. It's everything about them. And then Jesus comes and he brings a different way. Think about it for yourself. What did this mean when Jesus came into your life? Often you'll hear a preach and some of you get really gekrap, which means really scratched in English for some of us that might need to hear that. And we get offended by some of the things that we hear from the pulpit because it cuts right across your belief system. And Jesus cuts in and he says, there's a better way. There's a kingdom way. And we need to change our ways of the world to come back to a kingdom mindset. And even for us as Christ followers, that can be difficult. But he's challenging us in that area to say we've got to pick up the kingdom values versus the worldly values. And so with that, he comes in to rescue us. I want to say to you this morning, when we talk about being poor in spirit, it has nothing to do with economics. End of story. Whether you are rich or poor, it has nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, in both scenarios, Jesus, what he was dealing with there as well, is for those that often, that had, the Bible says that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're self-sufficient, self-sustaining. Why do I need God? That's why the gospel needs to go to the four corners of the earth. That's why America's in such a mess. And the beautiful thing is Josh Jen is starting to take traction there, and the true gospel is being preached. Not a church isn't successful or deemed to be successful because you've got 10,000 people in an auditorium. That doesn't make you successful. If a church understands the mission of God of reaching out, discipling the nations, then 10,000 people should be turning that into 20,000, and we should be preaching the word of God. The gospel needs to go out. People need to get water baptized. People need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and those people need to be taught like we showed our children this morning that this is what Jesus showed us. This is what you should be doing. I'm challenging us this morning. Who are we discipling? How quickly are we going to get up and say, Lord, use me. I will pray for the sick. I'll pray for my boss. I'll pray for this person. Live the gospel wherever you find yourself. But coming back, so on the one hand, you've got the rich. And I'm so glad, because we do have wealthy people in our context. Praise God that they have got saved. Because I can tell you one thing, and I love these kind of moments, because I have sat next to people that have got more money than all of us put together, and you will never know it, just through their demeanor. And I want to say to you, we have people here that are extremely humble, love God, willing to serve. You will know no better. And the only thing with them is say, just be generous with your finances, serve the kingdom of God well with that, because you will stand before God and give an account. The minute we get to, oh, this is, look at me, what I've done, you're in trouble. But then, what about those who don't have? You know, oh, they were just lucky. Or they'll come up with all kinds of reasons. There will be coveting. There will be jealousy. There will be complaining. There will be bitterness. And I say to you, even the poor then are poor in heart. I want us to see the comparison. We'll always have this. We're never going to change it. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. The most important thing here that Jesus is dealing with is, what is the position of your heart? That is what's important here. And we need to make sure that our hearts are right before God. And so, the next thing is that I think is so powerful. So Jesus sits, he says, you actually need me because you were poor in spirit. Now, this is the most amazing thing, the part of the thread. He says, blessed are those. Can we get that verse up? Verse 4, I think it is. Herman, that scripture. There we go. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, this is so powerful. So when we look at our lives, how many of us remember the day when we gave our lives to Jesus? Raise your hand. How many of you were, when I say expressed some form of emotion, where there was crying, or maybe you've never cried before, and what happened was, you know, you suddenly found yourself very emotional and weepy and all of those. Raise your hands, because I know that happened with me, all right? And so, you know, it's important for you to understand what is happening here is when God breaks into your life, we realize how far we were from him. We actually realize, the Bible says, we realize we offended him and actually we sinned against him and in many cases also against others, because it starts there and the overflows there. Suddenly, we realize how broken we really are, and suddenly we realize how much God loves us and cares for us. And how merciful he is towards us. And so that breaks us. And then the most amazing thing is God doesn't leave you going there and say, lekker, kry vir jou, meaning in other words, that's cool. Have some more of that as you weep, you know, you little wretched little worm. You actually should have picked that up a long time ago. He doesn't leave you in that space. The most amazing thing that happens when you come to God is that through the preaching of the word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, promptings of the Holy Spirit, and then through the local church, through people, God brings comfort and healing and restoration into people's lives. How many of you that are sitting here can say, I've experienced the comfort of God once I made a commitment to follow Christ? I have. That is a powerful thing for us. And so you need to know that when you come to Jesus, there are some of you here, you've come out of absolute debauchery, absolute brokenness. You know, every person here has a unique story. How can God love me if I was involved in sexual immorality, in drugs, in alcoholism, having an affair? How can God love someone like me? And when we realize, when he breaks into our lives, he doesn't just leave you there to wallow in it. His love starts to be poured out on you and to comfort you and to care for you and to revive you and to restore you. That is the heart of God. There's no condemnation and there's no judgment. But that doesn't mean we put up with some of the stuff that gets dished out. We need to be a people that need to understand that God wants us be healed. He wants us to be restored and he wants to comfort you. So with that, I want to read Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 2, Herman, please. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The beautiful thing is that Isaiah 400 odd years prior to Christ was already prophesying the heart of God to reach a people. Why do you think we're sitting here this morning? Why do you think the churches are being established in all the areas at this current stage and those that are holding to the true gospel? Because inwardly and silently, a nation is crying out to God. A suburb is crying out to God. People sitting here, you're crying out to God in your heart. There's a groaning inwardly. Surely, Lord, there's got to be more to this life. And that's where God breaks in. And then with Jesus being preached and brought to us, that's where the comfort and the healing takes place. Those are the powerful moments that we look for. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you would be able to reflect on the magnificence and the powerfulness of Jesus. We sing about his name that is so powerful. We're not just singing about some odd figure. We're singing about someone who is real. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And not only can he save you, but do we believe he has the power to bring comfort and healing and restoration? I might not know your personal circumstances, but as the word gets preached, even just in our hanging together here, God can sovereignly and supernaturally bring healing and comfort and restoration to you. The fact is that you're putting yourself in a space to hear the gospel is a powerful thing. So with that, we're called not only to be comforted, but to comfort others. If we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, please. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. Just stop right there. Father of compassion. Compassion means to suffer together. And in the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves have received from God. The beautiful thing is there more there? Verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So what does that mean for us? Friends, you this morning, as you sit here, you need to realize at some point there was comfort that was brought to you. And the most beautiful thing is that when God moves in your life, he now says to you, now it's your turn. I want you to be Christ. Eyes, ears, hands, feet, and mouth to those that are around us that are suffering and that are struggling. We have empathy for people's circumstances. We can have sympathy for people's circumstances. But the Bible also teaches us that we can carry one another's burdens, but each one carries their load. I can't take on some of the choices and decisions that people have made with their lives, but I can tell you there is one who can. His name is Jesus. The problem is, for many of us, we feel we've got to become the rescuer for other people. No, you point them to Jesus. And I think if people realized that if they went to Jesus first, I think we'd have lost a lot less counseling. It's not that there's not place for it, but we need Jesus first. And so I think for us, this becomes a very, very powerful moment. How is God using you to comfort others? And that's the heart of God. He wants to work in you and He wants to work through you. You need to know as well that God won't necessarily change your circumstances and situation immediately, but He'll take you through it. He gives you the grace, He gives you the power and the abilities to endure some of the things that you go through, because that's where we learn our life lessons. And the funny thing is, as I've been thinking about it, I look at this congregation and I see what God has done with some of you. Have you noticed, for some of you, isn't it amazing how God will bring somebody across your path that you can say, oh, I've already been through that, or I'm busy working through that. And that's the thing that God wants to touch, and that's where He wants to work through you. Can you bring not just only your opinion or your experiences, because your opinion matters for nothing, actually, it's your experience and what the gospel teaches of how we can comfort people and build people up and strengthen them going forward. So that's the heart of God, that He will work through you. Just for those that are making notes, if another scripture that you can go and spend time in is Psalm 51, where you can go and find true comfort. Go and read that psalm and see the heart of David. You know, that's where it all happens, a place of repentance, place of forgiveness and asking for mercy and then trusting for God to move powerfully through your life by His Holy Spirit. Then my last 2 points. The most amazing thing is if we can go back to that Matthew scripture, Matthew 5, I think it will be verse 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Very, very importantly, one of the things that when you get saved by Christ, what happens is your posture changes before God. You know, it's when we talk about our posture changing, when it says blessed are the meek, it's not saying blessed are the weak. Meekness isn't weakness. In fact, what happens when we look at the word meekness, it actually refers to another word of being humble, a people that have humility. And so that is the heart that God has for us. What is important is that when we get saved, is that our heart posture before the Lord changes and we actually become a humble people. One that is not constantly at war with God and even with others. Our hearts are postured before Him. And it's very interesting because I love going out into nature, particularly where there's mountains. And I don't know if any of you like going hiking or camping and you're out sort of inland versus the coast. But there's been moments where I've been walking and you get to the foot of the mountain. What is that place that we went to in Rawsonville, those log cabins? Platbos, that's right. And that was a few years ago. And Platbos has got these three cabins next to a dam, but literally at the foot of the mountain there in Rawsonville. And one of the things I realize when I stand and I look up at the mountains, I go, Lord, this is amazing. The mountains remind me of how big, how strong, and how mighty our God is. And then it says to me, and look how small you are. And one of the things I realize as more and more as time has gone by, as a Christ follower, I realize how small and insignificant I actually am in the greater scheme of things. But the beautiful thing is I posture my heart before the Lord and it's processing. And suddenly the Lord says, Gunther, I've chosen you. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Naomi, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Actually, Naomi, come follow me, because I'm going to use your voice prophetically, letting utterances go out that will build and strengthen and encourage people. Why? Because God took you and I out of all of creation to be in a relationship with Him. But we didn't come to sit on seats to keep the pews warm. We came to participate, to serve the purposes of God so that the kingdom of God can advance. That our friends and our family and colleagues and those that don't know Jesus would hear the gospel and be drawn into a place of serving him. So, how do we get to this posture? Very good question. Let's go to Matthew 11, verses 27 to 30. All things have been committed to me by my Father, Jesus said. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very simply, what Jesus is saying, come to him, be teachable, learn from him. What you see in the Bible, follow, walk that thing out. Trust God with that journey. You know, a yoke that gets put over the ox or the oxen is something that is heavy, but they do it together. The thing is, for many of us, we are carrying loads that Jesus wants to take off your shoulder. He wants to lift some of the stuff, the disappointments, the hurt, some of the things that have held you back. And the heart of God is that you would really come to a place. Now, I don't know about how many of you have found yourself in a space that for years and years and years you've been coming and you're saying, Lord, I keep coming and it doesn't seem like things are happening. It doesn't seem like this thing is changing for me. And some of us have given up. And I feel like the Lord is saying to you, don't give up. I want you to run to me. I want you to come to me. Don't look to man. Yes, God uses the church. He uses people in the church. But will you come to me? Will you trust me with your circumstances and your situation? Because I want you to run free. I want you to enjoy the kingdom of God. And I want you to live in a space that what I pass on to you as I break into your life is praise and thanksgiving. So this morning, I'm not going to move forward because I had my fourth point here, and I want to land rather with this. I want to get into a space that we can have some ministry time here. And so from this place, we want to go into a space of saying, Lord, we want more of you. And I'm going to ask the worship team if they could come up. They've got two songs that we're going to sing. And what I feel for us this morning is that we as a people need to consider the following. Do we ever consider and contemplate what God has actually done for us? The second thing is, you are here this morning, and some of you are still living in a space of your brokenness and that which has held you in bondage and captivity. And I believe that there's the power of God here this morning to bring healing and to set people free. But we need to be a people that respond and say, Lord, I don't want to live with this stuff holding me back anymore. And then thirdly, you need to posture your heart before the Lord. You know, some of us have never bowed. Never bowed. But perhaps this morning, there's space down there. There's space over here. I'm not looking to see who bows. That's between you and God. But I feel like the Lord is calling people and saying, will you come and will you bring your stuff to me this morning? Your hurts. The people in the back there as well, if you can hear this. There might be a moment for you as well. Where there's brokenness in your marriage, maybe you've been battling with stuff. Maybe you've been exposing yourself to porn. Maybe you are willfully living in sin by hoping that what you do in secret, you think nobody else knows. Let me tell you something. It's not hidden because God sees it. That thing has trapped you. There are some people here, you have been hurt by your past because of words that have been spoken over your lives. the disappointments of your family and things that you thought the way that it should have worked out didn't work out, and you have almost, in a sense, I want to say, you've been crawling in this life. No, Lord wants to lift you up today, and He wants you to run. For those of you who are Christ followers here this morning, I want you to think about those few things that I've just said now, because I want you to prepare your heart to come and do business with God. But there is also a people here this morning that I really want to reach out to you this morning. And I want to say to you, if you are here for the first time, or you've been visiting for a while, there are some of you that know about Jesus, but have never actually come into a place where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You heard me say earlier on, Jesus told the people how depraved and how messed up they actually were. And you might look at your life and you might go, is it possible that God can love me? Well, let me tell you something. He gave up His very best for you. He gave up His very best for you. He gave His Son. His Son Jesus, who suffered on the cross for you. He took the sin of man, your sin, and He put it on Himself at the cross, so that if you put your faith and your trust in Him, as the Bible says, that you would have eternal life. And so this morning, I'm going to ask just for us to bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if there's anybody here that for the very first time would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would just lift their hands, because I'd love to just pray with you. Is there anybody here that needs to receive Jesus? Right. So based on that, it seems that everybody is saved. So Father, with the folk that's heads are bowed now, I want to thank You for this moment. Lord, I feel this is where we need to land, and our hearts are open now, Lord, to You. We want to ask You, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, as we start to sing these songs, Lord, that You would start to move in our hearts. And I want to pray, Lord, that we'd be a people that will come and posture ourselves before You and say, God, here I am. Nothing held back from You. Will You come and do what You need to do in me? So keep your heads bowed. I'm going to ask Nelius and them just to start leading us into that song gently, just taking us away. And as you start to feel the move and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask for folk to come to the front. Come and kneel on the side. And then I'm going to ask some of the leaders, if unless you are up front, be ready. Let's come and pray and minister with some of these folk here this morning. And I'm going to ask you, church, don't hold back. Jesus came to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to comfort those that are hurting. We receive that now in Jesus' name.